Men of Vision. Men of Vision, men who have opened the eyes of the world. Each week at this time, we bring you dramatic highlights from the lives of men to whom we all owe thanks and allegiance for having brought to the world and to us better vision. Today, we would honor Dr. Thomas Young. Here is a name, perhaps not so widely or so commonly known as many others of the men of vision, such as Galileo, Newton, or Edison. And yet among scientists, Dr. Young is ranked close to the heights of Sir Isaac Newton. And well may he be. Physician, philosopher, archaeologist, linguist, mathematician, founder of physiological optics, he wrote learnedly on the theory of tides, properties of matter, cohesion, magnetism, electricity, theory of heat, and acoustics, to say nothing of optics, in which field alone his discoveries would have brought lasting renown. One might be pardoned for fearing that a man of such profound intellectual achievements would turn out to be either an egotistical prig or an old fossil. But Dr. Young was neither. No, indeed. Thomas Young always balanced his deep study and research with laughter and gaiety. Come along and see for yourself. Sir Hilary Graham and his sister Beatrice are giving a dance in honor of Dr. Young. The time, the early years of the 19th century.
Lady Beatrice, my compliments.
Robert, it's so good to see you.
And you are so good to see.
Oh, flatter us. Hillary, come to my rescue. Robert is trying to turn my head.
Robert, my boy. Glad you could come.
I wouldn't miss it for the world. But tell me, Sir Hillary, before I meet Dr. Young and display my ignorance, what is the Rosetta Stone that's causing such a stir these days?
Why, it's a large stone tablet found a few years ago near the Rosetta mouth of the Nile.
Oh, so that's where it got its name. But what makes it so important?
Well, as you know, explorers long ago discovered many samples in the hieroglyphic writings of the ancient Egyptians.
Yes.
But no one could read them. And then this Rosetta Stone was discovered. And in addition to having an inscription in hieroglyphics, it had, as it turned out, the same thing written also in Demotic and in Greek.
Really?
Yes. And Dr. Young played a leading part in deciphering it, and thus finding the key to all Egyptian hieroglyphics.
And just think of it, Robert. This Rosetta Stone was engraved at least 2,000 years ago.
How thrilling. But tell me, Sir Hillary, who's the gentleman just entering?
Where?
Across the room with all the girls around him.
Oh, that's Dr. Young himself. And the prettiest girl in the crowd is his wife.
Well, perfectly ripping. Handsome brute, isn't he?
You should have seen him the first time I met him.
Oh, I say, might a chappie join the party?
Why, of course, Shelby, of course.
Do tell us, Lady Beatrice.
Why, I was barely out of short dresses and Mother was still alive.
Come. Ah. Good morning, Bennett.
Good morning, Your Ladyship, and Miss Beatrice.
A lovely morning, Bennett.
It is indeed, Miss Beatrice.
You've been to the cottage, Bennett?
Yes, Your Lady.
This guest is Hillary. What kind of a poor fish has he brought home this time?
Master Young. Master Thomas Young. Phenomenon Young, his partners call him.
Phenomenon?
Yes, Your Lady. Seems to warrant the name, ma'am.
And why, Bennett?
Well, I had it all from Mr. Hillary's man. He started his education at the age of 2. At 8, he amused himself with surveying the use of the quadrant and its mathematics.
Impossible.
At 9, he read the Old Testament from the original Hebrew. And at 15, he knew French, Italian, Hebrew, Persian, and, Arabic.
Why, the insufferable little upstart.
Go on, Bennett. Let's hear the worst.
That really is about the worst. Though at 13, while studying botany, he lacked a microscope. So he made one for himself, just from a mere description in a book.
Oh, come now, Bennett.
And to grind the lenses, he had to learn. Is there such a thing as a differential calculus, Lady Agatha?
I wouldn't know.
At 21, my lady, he wrote a paper. Something quite learned, Mr. Hillary's man assured.
I'm sure it was.
And he was elected a fellow of the Royal Society, no less.
And no more, I hope.
A perfect picture of an unmitigated long face, sniveling, unmitigated, insufferable bore. When will Hillary present himself?
Presently, I should think, milady. Though there was something said about a short ride.
That will be all, Bennett.
Thank you, Your Ladyship. And Miss Beatrice.
What on earth is Hillary thinking of? Are there no lively, entertaining young men at college? Not like him. Why must he bring home a stuffy, snooping, short-sighted...
Did Bennett say short-sighted, too?
Well, probably is.
Well, perhaps Hillary likes him.
Like a freak? A prodigy?
Oh, look, Mother, out the window. There's Hillary now and his friend. My, such a good-looking chap.
The phenomenon.
But he's handsome. Oh, such glorious curly hair. Oh, but he doesn't ride well. Hillary's taking the meadow fence.
The young fool.
There he goes.
Hey!
Oh, beautiful, Hillary, beautiful. Why, his friend is going to try it. Oh, he can never make it. He can scarcely ride. But there he goes. Oh, hey, oh, he's thrown. He's hurt. No, he's not. Mercy, he's going to try it again.
Foolhardy.
There he goes.
Thrown again?
Oh, right up on the horse's neck, but he held on. Oh, he's back in the saddle, and he's trying again. Good luck, young fellow, phenomenon or not. Oh, he made it. Just barely, but he made it. Oh, they're coming up to the house.
Good looking, you say?
Oh, handsome, Mother. Perfectly handsome.
Now, young lady.
Oh, here they are.
Mother.
Hillary.
Hello, Trissy. Mother, may I present my friend Thomas Young?
Welcome to Bonnie Larch, Mr. Young. My daughter, Beatrice.
Miss Beatrice.
Mr. Young.
We've been admiring your courage, young man, and your persistence, if not your horsemanship.
I regret your ladyship making such an awkward show of myself. But you see, well, I've scarcely been on a horse before.
What? So you start taking fences.
You don't know Thomas, Mother. He has a motto. What one has done, another can do. Well, you see, Lady Agatha, I've learned that after initial failures, one must keep on until one succeeds.
Indeed. But you certainly have deceived us, sir.
Deceived you?
Oh, we were expecting a stuffy young bookworm. You seem quite human.
He's a bookworm, all right, Mother. But he has many delightful and pleasant accomplishments, too. He plays any number of instruments and dances divinely.
Dances?
Mm, I love it.
Then tonight?
I say, Lady Beatrice, I believe you're quite gone on him.
Well, do you wonder? Just look at him standing there among all the girls. But, Eliza Maxwell got
him. Now, beat off me.
Ah, but he didn't. He asked Eliza.
Yes, and you know, I had a bit of an experience with Young once, and his wife, too. I'd like to forget.
Sure, do tell us.
Why, I was passing their house one day, and on the spur of the moment, I rang the bell.
I'll answer it, Thomas.
All right, Eliza.
It's Mr. Shelby, Tom.
Come in, Shelby, come in. How are you?
Oh, top old old chap. What are you doing there before the mirror, admiring your manly beauty?
I've made a discovery, and I'm trying to check it.
Another discovery? I'm all of a sudden to be in on it, don't you know? What is it?
Why, when I change the focus of the eye from near to far objects, the outer shape of the eye doesn't change, as we've been taught. Not at all.
Oh, but my dear Young, how can such a thing be?
The shape of the crystalline lens changes.
No.
Yes. Perhaps Mr. Shelby can help you with that other problem.
What delighted old chap. What's it?
I find that when I hold a spherical lens of one radius before my eye, I can focus vertical lines, but not horizontal. With a spherical lens of another radius, I can focus horizontal lines, but not vertical. But I can find no lens with which I can clearly see both horizontal and vertical lines at the same time.
A fancy that. What a problem, eh? But why should you be so concerned with it, old top?
Well, this defect is caused by unequal curvatures on different portions of the eye. At least I think it is. At any rate, I've measured such inequalities, and I'm concerned because it blurs my vision, even with my eyeglasses on.
Oh, shocking. Of course, now, I'll have to think about this matter. I couldn't just say offhand what might be the answer. By the way, wasn't your discovery about the principle of interference that jolly well did something? Or was it something about color?
Oh, you mean the interference from sound to light and the consequent establishment of its propagation by undulation. Or was it the discovery of how we see color?
Righto, it slipped my mind for the moment.
No wonder, Mr. Shelby. You're a man of such wide interest.
Oh, now, I say that's jolly nice of you.
Thomas, I wonder if Mr. Shelby wouldn't be interested in the mummy and its case. You'd let him see it, wouldn't you?
By Jove, yes. I heard you were working on Egyptian art or something.
Hieroglyphics.
Of course, as I said.
Take a look in the alcove by the door.
Oh, my word. I didn't expect gruesome, eh? What?
Open the case next to it.
Well, maybe I'd better not. It's rather...
Oh, don't hesitate. Tom doesn't mind. And for a man with your scientific inclinations, it's bound to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm, yes. Mummy's worse than the first. Oh, yes, very interesting. And all that sort of rot, eh?
You're not taking a chill, are you, Shelby?
Oh,
you're all right?
Of course.
The mummies have such interesting stories connected with them. There's supposed to be a curse on anyone who opens a mummy case.
Ah, it's perfectly ripping, eh, Walter?
Isn't it? I've heard said that people often drop dead suddenly after looking at a mummy.
But, of course, you're not superstitious.
Oh, no, that's the last thing I'd be.
And strange diseases, too, they say are connected with them. Oh, of course, these are only stories. But I tell Thomas that those strange odors...
Fancy that, yes, of course, yes. Only stories. Well, I think I'd better toddle along. I just remembered an appointment.
Sure you feel all right, Shelby? You look a bit pale.
A bit pale? He's as white as a sheet. You'd better let the doctor get you something.
What? No. Wait, I'll have to leave you. No, don't bother. Come to the door, Mrs. Young. I can find my way out.
Come again soon and take good care of yourself.
Yes, yes, of course, yes. Cheerio.
Well,
you don't suppose that she was spoofing me?
Oh, I scarcely think.
Oh, look, the girls have persuaded Dr. Young to play.
And he plays divinely.
Yes, this will be worthwhile. Listen.
Dr. Thomas Young discovered that inequalities in the curvature of the cornea of his eye caused a blur in either horizontal or vertical lines which could not be corrected by any lens at his disposal, he discovered astigmatism, one of the four common eye defects with which more than 70% of us are afflicted. The Better Vision Institute, which devotes its time and efforts to a continual educational program in behalf of eyesight conservation, is authority for the statement that there are more than 2,000 kinds and degrees of astigmatism. Sometime after the discovery of this common defect, spectacle lenses combining cylindrical and spherical curvature were made for its correction. But these could be depended upon to overcome astigmatism only when vision was directed through their centers. Today, however, lenses are available which focus sharply even the light rays which come through them obliquely. Today, 95% of eyesight defects can be completely corrected by glasses. This startling advance in the field of optics has come about not only through investigation and discovery, such as Young gave to the world, but also through the perfection of marvelous equipment, which enables a thorough examination and accurate measurement of eye defects. Being fitted with glasses is no longer a matter of guesswork or a matter of trial and error. The eyesight specialist has the finest instruments in the world at his command. He knows. And his work is even more than corrective. If you go to him regularly, it is preventive as well. And this is a fine thing for what can be more important to any of us than saving our eyesight for a lifetime of usefulness and happiness. Indeed, it does pay to take care of the only pair of eyes you'll ever have. This is Howard Claney speaking. Be with us again next week at this same time, over this same station, for another dramatization in this interesting series of Men of Vision. Men who have opened the eyes of the world. Thank you.